pick an offer. All right. Let's go ahead and do a call to order, and first order of business be the Pledge of Allegiance.
The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic where it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I think all of you have, sit down, Mr. Phillips, heard about the 19 firefighters that we lost down in Arizona. I'd like to take a silent moment here, if we may. Thank you all for that. That's a terrible thing to happen. That could certainly happen anywhere at any time. And so we are certainly thinking about the families. Okay, item number three will be approval of the agenda for today. And item number 20. 20? Is that what it is? Yeah, item number 20 is the Comstock Mining special use. I'm going to move that up to, we'll make it item 5.1. Put that ahead of consent agenda and also ahead of the staff so that folks can get up and get that out of the way. And then what, we wanted to cancel one of those entirely, which is 11?
Yes, there is no need to hear item 11 as it will be item for the fire board.
Yep, item 11, you can just take that one completely off. And
it should be good.
I think that's it. Any other agenda changes anyone has? If hearing none,
I'd like to speak to the agenda for approval.
Okay. Customary, put your hand up, Mr. Phillips, so that we know what the heck you're doing there, if you don't mind.
Thank you, Commissioners. For the record, Mark Joseph Phillips, Story County resident. This is a Story County Commission meeting, 2nd of July, 2013. Item number three, discussion before approval of today's agenda. In regards to item number 14, this is a discussion of the Attorney General's decision. Open meeting law number 2013-01. I would like the record to reflect my name spelled properly, P-H-I-L-L-I-P-S. And statute requires this agenda item to read as acknowledgement of findings and fact. And opinions of law. I see no acknowledgement of findings of fact and opinions of law here, so maybe you could ask the district attorney if this has been agendized right. Please spell my name right on item number 14. Also, I think it'd be important to discuss the treasurer's report for May 13th, item number 7. And I also got a question about claims, item number 6. Like to speak to those outside the consent agenda. Thank you.
Any other changes on the agenda?
Yeah, I am on item number 14. If acknowledges the findings of fact and conclusions of law because we've made it part of the material, and we've also made it part of the supporting material. So we're, if you're saying that we have to specifically put, we acknowledge the findings of fact, we are acknowledging them by putting it on the agenda and asking for discussion of it. So the way it is, I apologize that I didn't pick up that your name was misspelled, but that's what we've got on there is sufficient notice for this agenda item, as we're required by NRS 241.03595, subsection 1. We're acknowledging it, we've attached it to the agenda items, and it's part of the material. So I think we've complied with the requirement of that statute.
Okay. Motion to approve the...
We got one more person.
Oh. Gunther. Gunther.
Hello, commissioners.
How can I have a... My name's Gunther Prosser, River District. Special request from Janet House. She also would like to have item number 6 and 7 put on the regular agenda. She tried to come up Six Mile Canyon, and it's closed, so she's on her way around the other way. So we have two requests from two residents to have items 6 and 7.
What changes does she want to make?
She did not discuss that with me. So anyway, okay, she's so hoping
no changes, right?
She wants to move from consent to be discussed.
She would like to discuss the items.
Oh, I see. Moved off.
Move it off and put on the regular agenda.
All right. So we'll move.
And hopefully she'll be here by the time you get to that. Thank
we'll
you.
We'll move those off. What's going on at 6 Mile?
She just called me and said she's on her way around.
Okay. Any other requests on the agenda? Okay. A motion for approval then.
Move for approval of the agenda with those changes.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Item 4 then is approval of minutes for April 16th. Anyone have any anything? No changes from anyone? Everything's okie dokie. Hunky dory. Okay, motion for approval then.
Mr. Chairman, it's time. Move for approval the minutes for April 16, 2013.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, item 5, approval of minutes for June the 4th. Anyone have any changes for that? Okay, none noted.
Mr. Chairman, move for approval of the minutes for June 4, 2013.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Item 20 is up next. This is the Comstock Mining SUP for the leach pad. Let me say a couple of things here real quick before we get into this. I know some of you may want to come up with some public comment on this. There's two things that the clerk needs from you when you come up. We need, of course, your name, and then we need to know where you live. If you would do that, we don't need any other information, just your name and your place of residence. With that, Austin, you got it.
Chairman, Commissioners, thank you. My name is Austin Osborne from the Record. I'm the planner for Story County. What I'm planning on doing today with this item is really providing just some background information on the application, the staff report, and what we really have here in front of us. At that point, I'm going to pass it over to the applicant. I'm going to let the applicant explain what the project is and what the applicant prepares to do. And then at the end, I'll be here for any questions or comments or suggestions or clarification on whatever items come up at that point. So if you like, I'll go ahead and continue. The first thing I'm going to go ahead and disclose, I disclose at the Planning Commission too, is we're dealing with an application for Comstock Mining, and my dad does work for Comstock Mining. He's pretty much the lowest man on the totem pole. He's a, I call it a gate guard or watches trucks or whatever. But I disclosed also at the Planning Commission that there is really in no way 100% that there's a conflict of interest. I don't have any financial gain from my dad. I don't benefit in any way from Comstock's operations, neither do I from my dad. and really, there's just no issue, but I want to go ahead and disclose it anyway and make it public that that's there, and that I'm able to serve as staff to this commission as well as staff to the Planning Commission and make a recommendation that is unbiased and based on fact and that sort of thing. If there's no questions on that, I'll go ahead and proceed. What we have really is an application that has been started since 2000 and had been amended in 2004 for mining, exploration, and processing. And so what we have in front of us now is what I call an A3 permit. We have 2000, 2000, A1, A2, and now A3. It's an amendment of the existing permit for those operations. And the applicability and the scope of what we have in front of us today and what the Planning Commission had heard is applicable to processing. And so what we have is an application for processing, but an application that existed in the past for other operations, particularly mining, ancillary uses, and exploration. And so what we wanted to do in this case is let's provide two things. One is provide the expansion that the applicant is requesting for in the processing area, that's it, and have no other consequential or no other amendments to the special use permit that would cause any material change to the operation, particularly with those other things, mining. But at the same time, we had a permit that was written in the 1970s and amended again in 2000 and amended again that really just could have used better language with regard to tie-in to NDEP, federal, state, and county regulations, alignment with MSHA and mining practices, but most notably grammar and spelling and sentence structure. So what I spend a tremendous amount of time on this application, particularly the conditions of use, is to structure something that we have an opportunity in front of us to not only go ahead and allow an expansion of the operation, but then to go back and do some housekeeping through the rest of the permit. To say things instead of the applicant must not crush rock bigger than 3 inches, to say something instead, the applicant must do crushing and agglomeration of heap leach process in accordance with the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection processes. It's not a government bureaucratic way of writing. It's something that ties that special use very tightly to the federal regulations because it's the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection, and it's the Bureau of Mining and Minerals, and it's MSHA, Mine Safety Health Administration, et cetera, that are really the ones that micromanage a project like this. They're the ones that do the air sampling. They're the ones that do the water and the well testing, and they're the ones that review the engineering reports. And really, that is to tie all of those things, including the mining and including the ancillary uses and including transportation and, of course, the processing. So that is really a cleanup of language and all of those other things. And the applicant had reviewed to make sure, and I had reviewed to make sure, that those changes in those administrative areas did not cross into the threshold of causing any change to mining or any change to exploration. And that means to cause more to take place or to cause less to take place. It's exactly the same. But the changes are processing. And so what we're looking at is about a 35-acre expansion in American Flat, where their current process facility is, to go north a little bit, about 20 acres. And they have a proposal to possibly go east in a 15-acre area, maybe less in that case. That's really what we have in front of us. And then the reason we're here is 1732-020W is a forestry zone. It requires a special use permit for processing. And then 1792-090 and 1703 are administrative provisions and our mining ordinance, respectively, require that they have the things that the application has, and they require that they get an expansion special use permit for what they're planning on doing. So I'm going to be very brief on the next things, but what we're going to hear today in this application really deals with reclamation bonding for the processing area and really exclusive to the processing area. To give you an example, Comstock has about $4,666,000 worth of bonding for reclamation at the heap leach facility, and the area that they're going to expand to would have a commensurate amount of reclamation, and that's going to be determined by the NDEP. They're going to go through their processes and create an amount of reclamation that will be appropriate for that. We're going to deal with environmental issues with water and air quality, and surety bonding, cyanide management, transportation, all of these other things that also the NDEP, Nevada Division of Environmental Protection, will manage and oversee and structure, and then copies will be provided to us. And then we're going to deal with a residence. There's two residents within 600 feet of the operation boundary. But what's notable in this is that there is no processing, cyanide use, or anything like that, or crushing that will take place within 1,000 feet of residences, and that's also required by federal law that that takes place. And then we're going to look at a plan where Comstock has and submitted with the application on what they're going to do for their operations, everything from emergency management to transportation to use of chemicals and how they're going to expand the processing, how the agglomeration is going to take place, meaning the expansions of the heap leach, and then, of course, post-closure reclamation. And so what we're going to deal with here, and then last but not least, are maps. We have right now pretty good maps of what their SUP boundary is. But what we're going to add to this special use permit as part of that grammar structure thing is we've created nice geographic information system maps that are overlaid both on topography as well as aerial imagery that is based on the historic maps that we have on record for the 2004 expansion of this project. And then these new maps will not only include those elements to be nice and clean and done properly, but also will be inclusive of the expansion area that's proposed here today. Those maps, as you see the structure of the staff report, are attached incorporated here too, as you would say. They're actually going to be part of the special use permit that would be issued, that those maps would be in effect, and the official maps of Story County for Comstock Mining's operation, including the entire thing. And so really, one last thing I'll say, as Comstock Mining right now is working under their Nevada Division of Environmental Protection permitting, and they're going to explain the details of what's coming and how that permitting process is, but I want to let this board know that I have been in continuous communication with the NDEP as well as other state agencies and making sure that it is completely compliant with its water permits, its air permits, its reclamation and bonding permitting, and all of its other permitting applicable to mining and processing. And I have, as you see in writing, from the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection, that Comstock is and has been completely compliant with its requirements, and that Comstock expansion area is completely in the middle of a process to get that expansion done as far as updating their permit and getting all their stormwater permits and air permits and those things. So I think I covered the key elements, and I also have findings and those sorts of things that I could discuss later. But at this point, I think it's appropriate. I'll pass it to the applicant and let him explain what the project is. Thank you.
Dave, go ahead. Fire it up there.
Good afternoon. I'm Dave Thomas on behalf of Comstock Mining. I'm presenting some information about about our SUP permit modification application, and I tried to keep it pretty brief, but I do have a few lifelines in the audience if I need one. I have Brandon McDougall, who's our mine engineer, Rachel Yelderman, who's our environmental coordinator, and Eric Haddix, who is our technical services manager. So all three of those folks are available, and Eric's brought pages and pounds of documentation in case we need questions. Okay, I thought I would review the following from the last meeting, from the Planning Commission meeting. We have made some improvements in our plans to address ideas that were raised in the Planning Commission meeting. I have some information on reclamation bonding calculations and Comstock's commitment to that issue that was raised. Well, I'll make sure that that's clear. I'm not going to say too much, but I know that gold price is on everyone's mind, so just to talk about our business plan and our goals, and that we're a viable business entity. And then finally, we did have a workshop in Silver City between these two meetings, and got some good feedback from the community, and I'll share that with you. Then we can talk about why we need a modification, the details of the proposed changes, and the coordination with NDPE and then I'll take questions. So last time I was here, or this is the first time in front of this group, but there were a lot of questions about who I am. Just to give you a flavor, I've been in the resource extraction industry 30 years. I've worked internationally, from Russia to Mexico to the Dominican Republic to Canada, all over the globe building gold mines and oil and gas fields. These are some projects that I've completed. The recent one was Hope Bay in Canada for Newmont, which was about a $4.7 billion project. I am Alaskan, born and raised in Alaska, but have spent my life on the road. You have to go where the resources are. I've built the Red Dog, is the world's largest lead and zinc mine. That's in Alaska. Fort Knox is the largest gold mine in North America. I built that. I built the Kensington Gold Mine a few years ago, Pogo. All these have elements of the project here in the Comstock. I know we hear a lot about working in a community. I was part of the Exxon team that built a $10 billion project within 4 kilometers of a village about the size of, village is the word they use in Russia, and about the size of Silver City. And we just had to learn to coexist, and I think it went really well. So I have a lot of experience dealing with that kind of project around the world. It's the world's largest drill rig.
I don't see anybody out there surfing. What's the story?
The other thing, maybe a little bit unique to our team that I bring, is that I have worked with mostly major companies around the world. So I have a lot of experience in permitting, planning, doing EISs on unique projects for large companies, and making sure we do it right. So I bring that to the table for the company. So this is my quote for my team, and what commitment is to me and what commitment is to the company to this community. An individual commitment to a group effort that is what makes a team work, a company work, a society work, a civilization work. That's from Vince Lombardi. So we truly are a team, and we want to be part of the team, the greater team in Story and Lyon County, so that we everyone's part of it, feels like they're part of the team. Improvements in our plans that we've addressed since that were raised in the Story County Planning Commission meeting. The growth media stockpile, we had a lot of conversations about that. The original application for the water pollution control in February had a footprint located that straddled the new boundary. And by able to work with the engineers, we were able to move the stockpile back onto that original footprint. And I'll show you some maps to that. What that does is that eliminates, we were able to engineer around any of the Carson City Mercury Superfund site. So we're not, there was some concern that we might disturb it. We had a plan that said we would never disturb it, but this just means we can do our work and never go near it. We have staked and we're barricading the sites of concern so that the community can know that the Superfund site will be bifurcated from our work areas and flagged. We did go back through and make sure that we are in 100% compliance with the mining ordinance. This is the Story County Mining Ordinance 1792080 and the Administrative Ordinance Section 1703150. We did a complete audit and we're 100% in compliance with those requirements. The reclamation bond calculations. So NDPE has very strict calculations. And that's what our bond is based on, as Austin mentioned. We have hired Tetra Tech to do a complete report for the NDPE. And in here is the calculation that will be used once our permits and permissions are granted. And we have the new SUP boundary and the disturbance areas documented and agreed to. Then there'll be a calculation which is just exactly per state code. What we are offering is That's the gold standard. That's what every mine in Nevada complies with. We've heard concerns, and what we're willing to go beyond that, as Comstock is our motto, is we would be willing to fund an independent study from an engineering firm of your choice. We would pay for it. You would direct them, and you would have an independent study done to make sure that the dollars in our bond meet your needs. And we would commit today that if the number in the independent study is more than the state requires, meaning that we would go above and beyond that, we would commit to bond to the level that your independent study shows we should bond. I'm confident that the NDP is very conservative, but we want to take that issue off the table. It's never our intent to just comply. We'd always like to do more than just compliance. Gold price and our business plan. I just want to talk a little bit about my job. My job is to deliver metal, and I don't much lose sleep over what the price of gold is on any given day. What I can control is what I can control, and what our company can control, and what our team can control, and that is our cost. So we produce metal at what was called the cash cost of mining, which is, I can give you the laundry list. It includes everything above and below the line to produce an ounce of doré, gold equivalent ounces. And that includes the bonding, the reclamation, the environmental permitting and compliance activities, mine planning, everything, like absolutely everything in the kitchen sink. We do that for about $550 an ounce. Okay, and then there's another bucket of money that I manage, which is called discovery and development. So we have the Lucerne mine, which is in your SUP, but if we want to do more mining beyond the Lucerne, we need to be thinking ahead, doing exploration programs, doing things like an environmental impact statement, maybe if we plan to mine on federal lands. All those things are in another bucket of money that has that we generate about $250 an ounce for and set aside so that we have money for those activities. And then there's corporate. Corporate includes, as you know, we own the hotel, we own several buildings, we pay property taxes, we started a foundation, we do historical restorations. Those things all fall into the corporate. So the actual cash cost of mining, if we just said we're going to finish the SUP before you and finish mining, we produce gold for about $850 or $800 an ounce, gold equivalent ounce. That's what I can control. Where the price of gold goes, if the price of gold goes to $500, we got a bigger problem than Comstock in Nevada. The results of the Silver City workshop. We had a meeting at Silver City, and we canvassed the community for their concerns. The number one, and we came up with 10 subjects, and we had the first workshop under those subjects, and the first one that the most interesting thing or the most area of concern for them was our blasting that concerned their community, and so we had that last Tuesday night, a week ago tonight, and it was excellent. We had really good participation, and we were able to do a few things, and I just wanted to highlight those because we are really looking for feedback from the community. That there was some traffic control issues about where we stopped traffic during the blast, that it was stopping traffic in front of people's homes. So we were able to move the traffic control point up about 1,000 feet so no traffic will ever be stopped in front of any homes in front of Silver City. We showed them a complete technical analysis of all of the blasting. We have seismometers all over Devil's Gate, all over the Comstock now. We were able to show them all that data from the blast, showing that we were full compliance and well below anything that any federal regulations for blasting. We have committed to providing, Brandon's going to show a 3D model of the underground workings that are in or near Silver City, because there's some concern that maybe, you know, they could have some sinkholes like you had in Virginia City. We committed to doing that. And we also committed to people who were interested that stuck up their hand that were putting monitors at their house so they can actually see the difference between when we blast and when a Harley-Davidson comes by on Saturday afternoon. The noise and the vibration. And just wind on their structure. So we committed to doing that. The other thing
that will affect folks in Stillwater County also, so I just want to let you know what this sign is. We committed to putting these signs up. These are signs that we use for regulation that have to be posted within so many feet of the blast. But we're going to post these on 342. We bought these signs. They have grease pencil. They'll mark them in. The date of the blast, the time that we're going to blast, how many holes we're going to blast, the location, meaning Billy the Kid or the Lucerne, the area in the pit, and then what the expected weather is. And if there's any red flag warnings, then we put a big red X there, and that means we're going to delay the blast because of lightning or a storm that came in. Anyway, these signs, when you're coming up 342, you'll see them entering into Silver City and exiting Devil's Gate. So if you see these signs 24 hours in advance, a minimum of 24 hours in advance, these signs will be updated by our security forces. That's all my props. We talked about this to highlight the ordinances that our plans are in compliance with matters affecting public health, safety, and the general welfare, and the mining ordinance with water, as Austin mentioned, BMPs, best management practices for pollution prevention, air, water, noise abatement, historic structure protection, and cemetery protection. There was a concern at the Planning Commission meeting. We have confirmed that we are 1,000 feet from a cemetery. And the other concern that was not in your ordinances, but is in our NDEP permit, and there was a typo, I just want to get on the record that our heat max heat height for soil dynamics is 105 feet. There was a typo in one spot in the application that said 150 feet, but it is 105 feet. We confirmed that, and we are in compliance with that. This is, sorry, hard to read. The letter is from NDEP to Rachel, stating that we have, I think one important thing in the past 2 weeks that I've noticed is that people are talking about us getting new permits. Just like the SUP, we're not getting new permits. We're just modifying our existing permit with the Department of Environmental Protection, the Division of Environmental Protection. And the way you modify that is a technical term called an EDC, an engineering design change. So each little piece of this project is broke up into engineering design changes, and we already have received approval for some of those changes. And then on the other column, date expected, it's just the reclamation amendment is expected to be back August 2nd. Hopefully this SUP is approved today. The soils assessment July 31st and the air quality permit August 1st. We're actually conducting a full-scale air test starting July 17th and going through July 31st. NDPE will be on site for 2 weeks, checking every air source we have. So what's happening at the mine? We're pouring gold and silver. The bars are a agglomerate of metal that is 10% gold and 90% silver, so it's called Doré, for those of you who haven't seen it. That's 1 week's production back in May. We produce more than that now, and I'll show you that directionally. So I just want to get on the record, because my mom might see this in the newspaper if Angela prints something nice about me. But when I came here, our business plan and everything that's in the public is that we wanted to produce 400,000 ounces per year, or 20,000 ounces per year, nominally 400 ounces per week. Okay, that was the goal. So I came back here where this started, right? I came into this company, and we put a team together, we put a plan together, and we've exceeded those goals. We're producing, in the last average of 455 ounces per week of Doré, gold equivalent ounces. So, and we continue to increase our production as we debottleneck things and ramp up. The other thing I've heard is that, you know, we're struggling. These are the numbers. The first quarter, we produced 21,000 ounces of Doré. In the second quarter, we've produced 51,000 ounces of Doré. Gold, 2,400. $5,005 in gold in second quarter. And first quarter in silver, $17,000 and $43,000 in the second quarter. In every case, when someone says we doubled our production, we doubled our production. And we're proud of that. We are very economically viable. So why change the SUP boundary? The answer is our current footprint needs to be expanded so that we can continue that production. So this is our existing heap leach facility on this boundary. It looks like, someone called it like King Tut's tomb, but these are actually engineered 21-foot lifts, so five lifts will be 105 feet. And we stack them and place fresh, we have to let them rest. There's a lot of engineering that goes into this big pile of ore to get the gold and silver out. The bottom line is, we, in order to keep growing, we need to expand onto the piece of land that we own that's contiguous to this. We did not own it at the time of the original or the last modification SUP, so here we're here now, we own the land, and we have the engineering to just expand this. That's all we're really changing, is stacking this ore. The process plant, which is here in the background, the Merrill-Crowe, it's called a Merrill-Crowe unit, it stays exactly the same. The pit is exactly the same, that where we mine the ore, the way we haul it, the way we crush it, everything stays the same. It's just storage of ore on a line system. And in fact, we just connect the new liner to this existing liner, and it takes the fluid into the existing collection system. I think we covered all of these. So there's no new mining as far as this request. There's no new processing. And the only additional space is for the same activities. We're not changing the type of process. It's still a heap leach. It's still the same. It about doubles the, although the area is not double, it actually doubles our available space or tonnage that we'll have at the heap. So this just gives you a flavor for what the facility looked like November of last year, right after our first pour. I would like to take this opportunity to invite the commissioners up to the site anytime. We'd love to have you. We're very happy with our operation. We feel really good about it. We feel you can come any day of the week, 24 hours a day. We want always to be ready for regulators or commissioners. This was in April, and this is taken at the end of May, but you can see how quickly it's growing now as we've increased our production. So, what are we talking about? This is the property that's in the current SUP boundary, and we're talking about adding this property, which we've acquired, and this piece of property, which we've acquired. This is the picture I showed to the Planning Commission, and this is where we were going to put the stockpile here. And there was some questions about that and other issues. I'll show you what we ended up doing. We went back. This is exactly... This package of drawings is just showing the progression. The original application in February had this footprint for our stockpiles. It was bifurcated by a road right here. Or you see this little existing access road? And the engineers thought we had to have that. What we did in the past week is look and say, if we really don't need that road, because we have other roads on our property, how much material could we store just so we could get that? This is just topsoil, basically, to go back for reclamation. Can we store the proper amount of stock of material in this footprint? And we were able to confirm that we could. That's thanks to Eric, his good idea. But this lets us avoid the anything associated with the Carson City Mercury Superfund. So the way the Carson City Mercury Superfund, from somewhere upstream of here, anywhere there's a water body, all the way through to Dayton, is shown as in the Superfund, because mercury can be carried by water. So I have a little map for you guys that just shows that what we did was go back with Rachel and say, you know, how could we just like we did the, you'll see there's some part of the Superfund that we did testing here to clear this area, and we found one hot spot, so we designed our project so we don't have to disturb that. We did the same thing here. I just challenged the team to say, can't we get this growth media stockpiled somewhere in this footprint that also totally avoids the Mercury Superfund zone? We were able to do that. So what did that do? We still need the 13.7 acres added to the SUP because that is our property, and it's we do use part of that property. But we were going to cover 3 acres of that property with the pile that we talked about. Now we've been able to reduce that to 2.2 acres. And then the heap to the north is adding that 22-acre piece of land, and we cover 6 acres of that 22 acres with our new heat facility. This was just a view from the nearest neighbor. This is our current view. And this is what's called growth media by regulation. It's basically topsoil. This is what it would look like. Now we're actually moving it back here. It will kind of be out of their view shed completely back by the heat. Okay, our existing heat bleach facility is all contained in this line here. It's operated 100% compliant with the permits. The ore storage under leach is in this pile here. The Merrill Pro facility is here. And the limited growth media storage is right here from the plum mining days and from our expansion of cells 4 and 5, which was right here. So that's already in this pile, so we're just going to make this pile bigger and come around this corner. So there you can see the growth media buffer and the heap expansion from our existing facility. And you might ask, how do we get so much material on just 6 acres of expansion? And the issue is that these will be one contiguous pile, right? So that instead of having two mountains like this, we're filling that valley. And that there's a tremendous amount of material that goes in that valley. So when you come out and it's all stacked out, when you pull up to it, when you look now, you see this kind of King Tut design. It'll just look like a bigger, one big pile. So we're expanding cells 6, 7, and 8. Again, you wouldn't know there's, you know, this is 6, this is 7, this is 8. It's just a technical term, but it's all one area. Our current permit limits us to up to 1 million tons per annum. We're increasing that. It's like a speed limit. They have 2 speed limits. First year is up to 1 million tons, and anything beyond 1 million tons is a different speed limit under the state regulations. So we want to go from above 1 million tons per annum. It'll give us a total storage capacity of 3.9 million tons. And we could, right now, again, the speed limit is that 1 million tons a year. This will let you go anything up to 5 million tons a year. Not that that's our plan, but there's really no, you just have first year or second year. Story County special use permit, you need to adjust those boundaries. You need to incorporate the growth media stockpile and increase our operational limits. We're conducting the stack test, which I mentioned. Right now our permit is restricted to 12 hours in any 24-hour period. Once the stack test is conducted, the air quality permit will be 24 hours a day operation, and that will be converted from a state permit to the federal permit. And on the reclamation permit is just for the growth media. We have best practices. So originally when Plum Mining put the growth media here, the regulations were not as stringent. But what we said is since we're we have the chance now, we're actually going to import growth media from other spots in the process, or from the pit or other areas that are being disturbed. We'll put it here so that when we close out to the current regulations, not part of it to the old regulations, part of it to new. We're going to, best practice, we'll close it out and reclaim it to the best, the most rigorous and latest regulations. And again, there is some Carson River Superfund site, these old historic tailings. So our design completely, we just avoid them. That's our number one consideration. So I am an engineer. I won't apologize for it, but an Ericsson engineer. I don't think there are a lot of them around before we got here. Brandon's an engineer. Sorry, Brandon. But we did a lot of engineering. So this is a very well thought through plan. We wanted to get all the engineering done first before we launched in the permitting process. We did that, and we're about 80-90% of the way through the NDPE process. They've assessed our application for technical completeness. They've been to the site. They were out there yesterday for their final check to make sure we're in full compliance with the existing permits, and they understand how they connect to the going forward permits. And we've submitted these EDCs for the growth media removal and the event pond expansion. We're here. This is your process right here. So we're working through that. And we're working through the reclamation process with NDP, which is a different group inside the same agency. And once we, with Todd process, once we get through your process and we can submit the final set of plans, then we post the bond. So it's just kind of a cartoonish way to depict the different processes we're in. So this is, from the team, you know, we've grown a lot. We've grown since I've got here. We have about 100 full-time employees between the hotel and the mine, and we have about 300 vendors working for us, and five major alliance contractors on site, which have about 30 full-time employees in equipment maintenance, engineering, electrical, number of key areas that help us out. So altogether, you know, we have a lot of economic activity, and I'm proud to be part of the team that is delivering for Comstock. So, in summary, you know, things I wanted to leave you with, the take-home message is there's no new mining or processing. It's just a logical extension. I don't know why that always does this part of the presentation.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
What's that? Oh, yeah. Last time, for the Planning Commission, I gave you the presentation on a stick, and I can do that when we're finished here. So really, we're at the end, and that is what I have for prepared remarks. I can take questions.
Want to get questions from the audience first?
I was going to say, is there any other comments from the applicant? Anything you want to fire away with? So, any other comments from the audience? Let's go away. You have to come up front, please. We've got to get you on the old. Got to get you on the TV set and all that stuff.
I just was curious if you could address what steps you took to ensure the wildlife in that area, like the wild horses and...
You're asking us not...
Oh, well, I mean, he was presenting Comstock. I'm just trying to find out what steps, in addition to what they did there.
You need to address the question.
Okay, can you tell me that then?
Go ahead.
What steps were taken to ensure the wildlife in that area, i.e. the wild horses and stuff that would be disrupted by all of this? Were there anything done to help protect, to make sure they were
no
not
injured,
animal life in that area?
There's no wild horses that roam through there.
That's my question. You're referring to any danger to wildlife? I'll refer that to the applicant.
I'll sit down.
Okay. Sure. First, our entire process area is already fenced, so any of the areas that are associated with the processing or processing solution are inside a completely fenced area. And at each gate, there's actually, even to keep like bugs and bunnies out, there's hard, you know, like a flap that covers each gap between the gates. So, and they're on automatic openers, so like when you drive through, they automatically close behind you, so no one leaves the gate open, so to speak, for the horses to get in. The property, we already own the property that we're asking for the boundaries to be adjusted to, so that property is protected by those same fences. And as far as other things that we do, we had an end-out inspection on Monday, for example, so they come out to make sure that we are watching out for all the wildlife, including birds. So for things we do for birds is a best practice that we actually have equipped our dozer that runs on top of the heap with what are called rippers, and we actually put the solution in the lines that distribute the solution below the soil so no birds would land on our pile and accidentally drink solution that's used in the process. And then in our ponds that look like, you see from the air, they look like, you know, big swimming pools. Those are covered with what's called a bird disc, which is a high-density polyethylene ball. It's called a ball that looks more like an irregular-shaped frisbee. And those sit on top of the water, so it's actually completely dry. You know, like if a bird landed on our solution ponds, they could actually just land there and hang out. It'd be nice and warm and black and great. But the solution, they couldn't touch the solution below, and it's like a floating lid on top of our ponds. So, you know, there's a lot of regulations in this industry and on us, and we try to do everything that we can and more. Yesterday we added, for the horses, wild horses, a watering station on the southwest corner of our pad just because of the heat, and we plumbed it into a well so it's constantly fed with fresh water for the horses because it's getting very dry up on the hill. I hope that answers your questions.
Thank you, Dave.
I have a couple questions. What are the plans for the Gold Hill Hotel? Is that safe?
Get them to identify themselves.
Would you, I'm sorry, your name and where you live, please?
Oh, sorry, Valerie LaBelle Flatley, Story County, Virginia City Highlands resident. What are the plans for the Gold Hill Hotel? Is it safe as it is?
Gold Hill Hotel, is it safe?
Yeah, it's an old historic hotel, so it's not in any danger of being torn down or anything like that to accommodate the mine.
Anyone want to address that?
I can address that.
Go ahead, Mary.
So, yes, we own the Gold Hill Hotel. We recently opened a foundation to preserve and enhance historic structures on the Comstock. We have absolutely no intent to do anything but own and operate and celebrate the hotel. And we'd love to have you out there. It's a nice restaurant, Crown Point Restaurant. We have great food. And that's just part of our business. And there's no plans to do anything but continue to run it as we do.
Okay. I have a second question. Mr. Thomas mentioned the solution that they put into the ground rather than on the top so it doesn't, no birds are going to be endangered. What is this doing to our well water?
I can almost answer that one.
Okay, so
nothing.
So the way the system is designed is that it has 100% containment, so there's no solution ever outside the system except for water that evaporates off the heap eventually. So it's a closed loop. So we constantly circulate the solution, and that's actually what carries the metal into the Merrill-Crowe plant. We filter out the metal, and then the clean solution goes back up on top and collects more metal and comes back. So if you think about it, it's all 100% lined, double lined actually, with leak detection systems, and there's no solution that is ever out into the ambient environment. Everything we use is inside, on top, or any process, anything is on a liner that would be collected in that closed system. No, I'm not yet. You're only a lifeline. These are engineers. He'll go on forever.
That's, yeah. We'll talk cyanide anions a little later.
Pat?
Patrick Flanagan, resident in the Highlands. I'm just wondering, in the entire cost of complying with all the regulations that you're complying, is that part of the base cost, the corporate cost? You outlined three areas, corporate, base, and I forget the other one. Yeah. Where in those three costs is the cost of complying with all the regulations?
So that's an excellent question. So all of the costs associated with environmental compliance or compliance with any laws or regulations is in the cash cost of mining, the base cost. We do have costs like, let's say, Rachel's time or my time. Some of my salary would be, you know, covered managing the mining operation, but also if I'm in meetings looking at like future environmental impact statement with the BLM or something like that, that's in discovery and development because that's looking at future mines. But all of the costs associated with compliance to the existing permits or permits like modifications to those permits is in the base costs.
Who else? Any more questions out there? Wow, quiet today.
I have a comment if I can.
Go ahead.
Since we have senior representatives of Comstock Mining here, and I know if the chief is able to get to a staff report, he was going to point this out, but I want to thank Mr. Joe Cover, Mr. Thomas, Ms. Barkdell Spencer. At the Peddler Fire Sunday, CMI was one of the first, if not the first, to be prepared to respond with their heavy equipment, including, I think, Gary, you said a bulldozer so large we probably could have smothered the fire right then and there and been safe. And also the Gold Hill Hotel provided cold water, sandwiches, and beverages for the fire crews that were up there as well. So I think that, and I believe I heard yesterday from Mr. Jolko that that was calm. If not, maybe it can be. But I want to thank you guys very much for being good corporate citizens down there and really coming to the rescue of the folks in Silver City.
Yeah, thank you guys very much for that. Keep forgetting that's an excellent source for firefighting down there. I got that lake and everything. How are the bass doing in that lake, by the way? Austin, what do you want to proceed from this point?
I'll have a comment, Bill.
Big question. Pardon? You have a comment?
I have a question.
Go ahead. What?
Per the existing SUP from 2004, under the mining quantities, if you will, for the mine, is there an amount identified to be mined, not processed, under that SUP?
Under the SUP, there the only limit it references our NDPE permit, which is a throughput permit that says we can process up to 1 million tons of ore per year currently.
Up to 1 million tons.
Yeah.
So that's the part, that's the mining section versus processing.
Right.
So I read the slide right, I just want to get the definition. Mm-hmm. The new processing extension will allow up to 5 million tons per year?
Correct. It's basically on how much you can have under solution at any one time. So, like, if you could do 1 million tons in a day, technically, you could do it one day a year. So the NDPE has a speed limit, I call it, that says it's either under 1 million tons or under, or 1 million tons or over, up to 5 million tons.
So am I understanding correctly that the new processing will exceed the current 2004 SUP?
Mr. Gilman?
Is that right?
If you'd like, I'll clarify just a little bit. The current special use permit at the county level does not have that limitation. So in this case, under their permit they have with the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection, that permit, not the special use permit, but the state permit, says they're limited to 1 million ton a year to process, so, and to mine. So in this case, the special use permit would remain the same. It would say whatever the NDEP says, and then in this case, the NDEP is the agency that is allowing it to go up to 5 million ton.
It's the water pollution control permit.
Correct.
That we already have that just has that limit in it.
And that's right in these two documents, that limitation.
Right. So would that step up the mining process to 5 million tons from 1 million?
It would allow you to go up to 5 million tons. We have nothing in our current plan or business plans that we would do that kind of volume. It's just either in Category A or Category B, we want to go above the million tons, but we have no plan to be at 5 million tons.
So then it would be up to the EPA as to whether that volume would be approvable or not, or would it be up to the commissioner, the county, or how does that volume factor into the approval process?
It would be up to the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection, the NDEP, for that amount, correct.
All right.
To give you some, you know, we have no, there's nothing, expansion plans of our plant in this permit application. So the plant is, if it were the engine, is limited to so much. We couldn't process 5 million tons a year, even if we wanted to, with the current plant. We'd have to come back with an engineered package to make a major change to that plant.
Could the current mining operation accommodate 5 million tons a year out of the current footprint?
I would have to answer that. We don't have any. Our system delivers just over, right now we're delivering about a throughput rate of about 1.4 million tons per year. We'd like to increase that a little bit, and we'd like to do it over a longer period of time.
I see. Thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Thomas, if we approve the amendment to the special use permit to expand the leach pad, what would you estimate the time frame would be until you've maximized the amount that you could, where you would be full there and would maybe have to come back and look to expand once again?
Okay, that's a great question. I'll try and temper my answer because I'm fairly aggressive on ramping up our production, and that's part of my job. But currently, we're processing and we're pouring about 800 ounces per week. On a good week, we've achieved like something like 700 so far. We're ramping up towards that 800 mark. And at that rate of production, the new heap expansion would last about 2.5 years in time, or 3.9 million tons. And then we would have to find we're looking at engineering alternatives, things like maybe a process by which we treat the soil. There's all kinds of options after that, or look for new heap space.
Okay, thank you.
Another question, if I may. Mm-hmm. Is this map I'm looking at the floodways, the drainage ways in the parcel area?
Yes. Austin, can I borrow your map?
Mm-hmm.
And Rachel, do you... Rachel didn't. I had her up here half the meeting last time. I promised her I wouldn't drag her up here too much. But Rachel's our environmental coordinator, and she spends a lot of time. So do you want to explain the map?
Sure. Rachel Yelderman for Comstock Mining. So your question is if these drainage ways?
Yeah, I could actually expand the question, so let me finish up. We just had an event in Story County, in the north part of the county, that far exceeded a 100-year flood.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened in a major industrial center where there had been extensive work in flood control. And that extensive work was overburdened tremendously by the amount of water that was dumped. And so we've had thunder, and it's raining outside right now. And that's the kind of event that we had that did this.
Mm-hmm.
So we had literally walls of water. We had over 2 inches of rain delivered in about a 20-minute period of time. and we had a lot to contend with. And I guess the question I'm asking is the engineering that's gone in. It appears to me that these floodways come to a Y in the leach area and a bit, I suppose, to the west of a lot of the ponding and a lot of the areas in there. And my question centers around flood control.
Sure.
And design issues and what you've approached, since you do have drainage ways that are bisecting a part of the expansion property.
Absolutely. To clarify, the drainage ways that you're talking about, those are headwaters to American Ravine. Those are natural drainage ways. And to give you a point of reference, the red shading is approximately that 100-year flood level. So we've surveyed that. It's not on the map.
The dark red.
The dark
is
red.
The 100-year flood.
Yes, that's the 100-year flood. Also, all of our structures are designed to meet and hold the water contained for a 25-year event. And then they're also designed, and Eric may want to answer this part, but they're also designed to withstand a 100-year event without failing. So we manage the water levels continuously, but at any time, the highest level that we could have, the water levels, will still hold the 25-year event. And I think that's about, I don't want to say, it's about 2 inches, I think, here. But the 100-year event will not break any dams or anything like that. That's how they're designed. And then as far as flooding,
that's designed under the direction of?
Of the NDEP. Mm-hmm. And they're all designed within our water pollution control permit. And then as far as flooding from those adjacent stream channels, that's what I was referring to earlier. These have relatively low 100-year elevations because they are headwaters. There's not a lot of watershed for those little streams.
So it's a limited watershed above?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We're kind of sitting on the side of the hill. Did I answer your question?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Mr. Sean.
Just a follow-up question for Rachel, if I may. Sean Griffin, Virginia City. A year ago, I met with your predecessor, and I asked if she would put in the paper monthly updates on all environmental related changes or progress that's going to be made, and she promised that would happen, and it did not happen. And I'd really appreciate if you do that for the good of the community so that we can be aware regularly without having to come to these meetings, that is all the other constituents in the county, of all changes that are happening, good, bad, ugly, and indifferent, so that we as citizens understand what's going on when we see stuff, because we see stuff all the time. So it would just really be helpful if that could take place. And I spent over an hour with her and was promised that would happen, and it didn't. So just if you could follow up on that, that would be great. Thank you.
So I'll get with you later, but I think Andrew would like that too. So we place that in the paper. That's fine. That's the easy one. We like to communicate.
Read your statement. Anything else?
I have a prepared statement in motion, if you'd like to go to that a little.
Okay. Could you stop short of the motion, because we'll probably need some findings ready.
Yeah,
for the
we
record.
Need to have.
What? What?
If you can stop short of the actual motion, we'll want to base some findings, suggested findings first.
Findings of fact.
You want to set the findings first?
If you're comfortable with that, or before you state it.
You want to do that? Do the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and.
Okay, then I'll go ahead and read the findings of fact for an approval, if that motion is going to go that direction. That's if you would like to go along with me, it's in the staff report. It's on page 12 and also on 13. As I usually do, I'll read these findings quickly. I'm happy to stop afterward and clarify anything to anybody or the commission on what they mean, but I usually go through them quickly because there's a lot there and some of them are pretty routine. So if you want to go ahead and read those, they're on page 12 again. It's in section 8 of the staff report. and it says the following are found to be factual regarding the proposed special use permit under the recommendation or recommended conditions of approval shown in subsection 9 of this report. A motion for approval should include a minimum of these findings and may include other findings deemed appropriate and factual by this body. Number 8.1.1, Story County Code Section 1732.020N, use is subject to a special use permit, requires a special use permit for milling and processing related to mining in the forestry zone F, in which the operation under special use permit number 2000-222A3 is located. 812, amendments to special use permit number 2000-222A2 by approving of or approval of special use permit number 2000-222A3 apply only to the conditions in the existing special use permit that pertain to processing, including but not limited to crushing, processing, and beneficiation, agglomeration, Merrill Crowe process, and ancillary uses thereto, located at assessor parcel number APN 004-33136, attached recorded map in Exhibit B, incorporated as quote-unquote attachment B in the final special use permit approval. Amendments to the existing SUP include administrative text amendments, including but not limited to grammar, spelling, appropriate terminology related to uses and regulations, sentence structure, and improved written alignment with federal, state, and local regulations. Those administrative amendments do not cause substantial changes to restrictions, entitlements, area, or uses related to exploration and mining. 813. Special use permit number 2000-222A3 does not prohibit, nullify, expand, broaden, or otherwise provide additional entitlements or restrictions other than improved alignment with applicable federal, state, and local codes to existing permitted exploration and mining and its ancillary uses permitted under SUP number 2000-222A2. 814. The conditions of this amendment or amended SUP are not in conflict with the purpose and intent or other specifications, requirements in the F forestry zone in which the project expansion is located. 815. The proposed project and final conditions it creates will not conflict with or the cause substantial adverse impacts to surrounding existing land uses. 816. The conditions under this amended special use permit are at least as stringent and not in conflict with the applicable federal, state, and county regulations. The minimum requirements under Story County Code 1703, administrative provisions for special use permits, are applied to the conditions of this amended SUP. 817. The conditions of approval under this amended SUP impose sufficient regulations on the proposed project to reasonably mitigate associated impacts on the surrounding environment and closest land uses. 818. The amended conditions and remaining unchanged conditions the amended SUP comply with the land use requirements under the underlying regulatory zone and are stringent and non-conflict with the federal, state, and county regulations pertaining to the uses allowed by the amended SUP. And 819, the amended conditions and remaining unchanged conditions of the amended SUP are in accordance with the recommendation by the Planning Commission. If there are to be any other changes made at this meeting regarding conditions, I would be happy to discuss changing 819. Thank you, Commissioners.
Thank you, Austin. Ralph, why don't you go ahead and jump in there
at
this point, if you'd like. I'll follow along with you.
I'm looking for something that I don't have highlighted here that I'd like to have. Austin, there is a paragraph of motion approval in here. What page is that? Can you direct me to that?
Mr. Gilman, there are two sets of conditions, one in the staff report that's on page 14, and then there's also a clean copy that does not contain the amendments and other changes that is in that addendum that was also provided prior to the meeting. And the recommended motion, Mr. Gilman, is on the page 24 of the staff report.
Of the staff report. Page 24?
Yes.
I'm showing one of eight. That, well, that's the addendum of eight. So wait a minute. Yes, number four. Thank you. There's a pile of papers here. I've read about 6 inches thick so far.
Yeah, no kidding.
So I think I want to read a statement into the record, and then I will do the recommended motion. Acceptable?
Sounds like a plan.
I'd like to make a couple of comments before I vote on this agenda item. First, I want to compliment the county staff on the staff report for the item. I thought that the research and the report was absolutely excellent. This report is a great model for our future land use and permit agenda items. It's very clear, succinct, and the markup trail was very well done. No matter if you're for or against this item, the report is extremely helpful in defining the issues so that everybody involved will understand. I believe it's a great job. Secondly, I want to personally thank all the citizens who have more or less been performing volunteer oversight of mining in Story County. I've had multiple meetings with a lot of folks in a lot of neighborhoods. And I'm going to tell you, to every one of you, you've been very helpful in alerting us to key safety and environmental issues regarding the mine. Mining does have a very significant impact on the environment, and if not properly managed, can result in irreversible damage to the land, to our water basins, and to our public health. It also has quite an extensive footprint in imposing noise and industrial traffic on nearby residents and neighborhoods. And I encourage you to continue your involvement in this issue and to continue to communicate with all of us concerning these issues. On the agenda item, I'm going to vote to approve it, but I will move to amend the new items now before the commission with a couple of conditions, and I'd like to explain the vote. First, I'm mindful of the fact that CMI owns the land in this new processing that it will take place on, and they own the mineral rights on the land. We need to be and keep in mind that if we outright deny access to those minerals or regulate that use so heavily that they cannot reach those minerals in a practical way, there are a whole bunch of legal issues that would arise and may well put the county at risk both legally and financially. Secondly, CMI has been a long-term time mid-sized employer in this county, and they provide a good living for a lot of folks. We saw in the slide over 100, plus all the support industry. In other words, there are a lot of families and children of the employees that depend on this company for their well-being. A part of my vote is a message to CMI that I fully expect them to continue to be a good corporate citizen and to keep the job roster full in our Story County. And third, I think we should keep in mind that CMI must be allowed to shift the location of their processing on their own land from time to time in order to operate their business. If we as a community freeze the mine to an exact processing location, as they're in now, it will well hamper their ability to extract processing minerals from their own land, and the company could very well suffer or eventually go out of business. So I'm going to vote yes on this item, but I want to make sure that our county has long-term assurances that eventually this land will be returned to its normal state. I note in some of the background correspondence that NDEP has jurisdiction over the bonds. With that in mind, I would ask the district attorney to confirm, if he would, that the conditions that I am about to lay out are legally within our power. I move that the motion to approve the amendment to the SUP be approved, subject to the following. This approval only be effective if and only if the county staff, our county staff, make the following determinations before the approval goes into effect or any changes are done on the land. Condition number one, that the applicant has provided a reliable, independent estimate on the future cost of remediation and reclamation of the leach areas covered or affected by this amendment to the SUP. And I believe I saw on your slide and presentation you actually have effectuated that, and I congratulate on that. I think that's a wonderful step. You're willing to capitalize an independent study on our behalf, and that gives me great comfort. A comment on this first condition, I am concerned that no one at the county has really seen any estimates of the potential cost of the eventual remediation and reclamation of the areas affected by this amendment. And we haven't fully vetted it, and the EPA hasn't, or NDEP has not fully addressed the issue, so obviously we haven't had the study. If the bonds are insufficient, we will pay a very heavy price in safety, in health, and environment should the worst case occur in our community. If NDEP has an estimate, then fine. But our staff should personally verify the estimate is done by someone independent of CMI and who is qualified to give the estimate, and that the methodology used appears to be appropriate. My condition number two is that the county staff determine that the bond or bonds are sufficient to cover all of the costs identified in the estimate as outlined in the first condition. And condition number three is that the applicant provide a drainage plan that provides adequate drainage in the event of a major weather or storm occurrence, as we have recently experienced here in Story County.
Mr. Gilman, may I add also in relation to what you brought up, that as Mr. Thomas had brought up during the discussion in his presentation, that condition number three that deals with indemnification and insurance would also include that an environmental event insurance for up to $7 million would be included in that indemnification insurance, that insurance would also include not just somebody slipping on ice, but also an environmental event.
I would incorporate that into my motion. I think I didn't read that, and I wasn't aware of that particular question.
Commissioner Gilman, if I can make sure, particularly with legal counsel here, your proposed conditions are additional conditions on top of those incorporated into the statute.
They are.
Okay.
It's more a reaffirmation of saying, okay. Because I believe the majority of them have been addressed in the staff report and already intended through NDEP.
Commissioner Gilman, I'll make sure then when those they're structured, the conditions, that everything that is mentioned is incorporated either as a new condition or part of an original condition to make sure they're all consistent.
Thank you. So, based on the findings of fact shown in subsection 8.1, conditions and approval shown in section 9 of this report, and compliance with federal, state, and county regulations, and the recommendation for approval by staff and the Planning Commission, I make the motion to approve SUP application number 2000-222-A-3, amending SUP number 2000-222-A-2, to permit expansions of the current SUP boundaries and to include all land within the existing parcel, assessor parcel number APN 004331-36, illustrated in Exhibit B of this report, and incorporated in the amended SUP as, quote, attachment B, close quote, and to allow uses in the SUP therein, including, but not limited to, crushing, processing, and beneficiation, agglomeration, and ancillary uses.
Now,
with that, Mr. District Attorney, do you have any issues with adding any of Commissioner Gilman's other conditions?
Aren't they already conditions, Austin?
What's that, Mr.?
I mean, all the conditions are already there, I think.
No. Like the independent assessment of NDEP's valuations. These are all new events subsequent to the Planning Commission. So these are good thoughts that we've had open dialogue with CMI, and they have been very receptive to.
Do they have any objection to these conditions? Okay.
No,
then I think they're fine.
Okay.
As long as I don't have to be cross-examined by the senior planner again this time.
Thanks.
With that being said, I'd like to second Mr. Gilman's motion.
Very well. I have a motion. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Congratulations. You have your SUP amendment. And with that, it's 3:30. Let's take a recess. Now the rain has stopped, and I left my windows down.